God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is coming from our Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22, entitled Withholding from God. And as you consider the picture at the on the front of that sermon insert, you see before you what's called an orb, and I hope and pray that you have seen this symbol before. Because if you've seen our Christmas tree and the chrismons that are on the Christmas tree, you will find that some of them are orbs. Orbs is sort of those little bit of that circular object. And on the top of the orb, of course, you have the cross of Christ. And it is that cross of Christ that is the focus. The orb represents all of God's creation, not just the earth, but the heavens and the earth, which again was given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Underneath that orb, you have a symbol of today's text, the coin, with a picture of Caesar and the inscription of Caesar around it. Our text for today deals with that coin and how a trap was set for Jesus. And the trap went looking like this. Do you like to pay taxes? Now, I don't know about you, but when property taxes come, I cringe. And when my quarterly payments for the IRS are due, again, I cringe. Anytime I pay tax, I seem to cringe. This is no different than the religious leaders during the time of Jesus. They also were cringing. And in the midst of this cringing, we have to ask ourselves, what's truly the most important thing? Is the most important thing having a good government, a good system? Or, to me, is the most important thing my money leaving me? Now, I will admit, my sinful nature gets the best of me from time to time. And my money leaving me may sometimes outweigh my understanding that the government needs to maintain itself. And so I tossed in under the introduction on the other side of that sermon insert a line I heard from another Lutheran pastor who basically said, if I can't have your soul, I don't want your money. This was somewhat of a little bit of a shocking statement for me. I'm thinking, wait a minute. The church always asks for an offering. We're always in need of people serving, using their God-given gifts and abilities. But as this Lutheran pastor noted, what is the most important thing? The most important thing is our soul. Pardon the pun, to get the heart of the matter is, where does your heart belong? Does your heart truly understand the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as number one? Or do we have other priorities? Well, as you're thinking in the back of your mind for a moment, where is our priorities? Let me just bounce to the bottom of that insert. We have a cartoon of two sheep in dialogue with each other. The first sheep basically says, so Caesar gets the money because his image is on it. The second sheep says, right. The first sheep then dialogues, then what does God get? The second sheep begins, well, you were made in the image of God. To which the defensiveness of that first sheep comes forward and says, the board of stewardship put you up to this, didn't they? You can see the priorities of our human nature. Our human nature does not necessarily want to understand the priority of God or rest under His authority. Needless to say, even as human beings, even as citizens of the United States of America, there are some times where we even struggle with the authority of the United States of America. So how do we put this in a proper perspective? Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and give to God the things that are God's. Well, as the orb reminds us, everything is God, including the government. Fair enough. God does establish that government for our protection, for our well-being. But that doesn't stop people from rebelling against the government. During the time of our text, you had the religious leaders doing their rebellion against the government. You have to realize that the government was considered the Romans. The Romans occupied Israel. Why? Bottom line to it, Israel couldn't take care of themselves. Plain and simple, if you don't have a decent enough of a military force to repel an invading army, they are going to occupy you. And that's exactly what happened. The people in charge were the religious leaders. And there's nothing wrong with religious leaders, but let them do religious things, not running the government. Needless to say, they were prime for Rome to take them over. And the religious leaders then hated this relationship. They despised this relationship. They were the ones used to being in charge. They were the ones that were used to making the rules. Now they had to bow to the rules of someone else. They not only hated and despised, but even if you were Jewish and you were connected with the Roman government, say you were one of the people collecting taxes, that was grounds right then and there to be tossed out of the synagogue. As people, as the leaders who were supposed to be leaders of God's people, they didn't understand God's authority and how God does set up the government for their protection. And they thought that they were the ones that were supposed to be in charge and that they were the ones making the rules. They needed to understand the proper authority of who God is and how God takes care of his people. And that is through the establishment of a government. Now, I will admit there are times when, as human beings, we elect other human beings in the role of the government. And because we're dealing with human beings, we're dealing with sinners. And sometimes people will abuse those positions within the government. But just because they abuse that position doesn't necessarily mean we take down the government. You have to have a good understanding of who is behind the government, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Now, with all that being said and done, I will admit, as a little bit of a sidebar, today's current environment presents some very interesting views of the government. We're in the middle of a political election for that of President of the United States. And you have two people running for that position who have different views, especially on the economy. And some people ask, okay, Pastor, what's the correct view? Oh, that's easy. I'll go back to our Bible text for today. Give to Caesar those things that belong to Caesar, and to God those things that belong to God. But you might be saying, but Pastor, that doesn't tell us how to vote. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. God has given you your reason and intellect, and go ahead and use them. What I am setting for you, the precedent, is what's the most important thing, which is Christ and Him crucified. That is the most important thing. Let's keep our priorities straight. But even within the church, we don't understand this view of priorities or authorities. Very often, even in the church, we would rather tell God what to do than to listen to what God wants us to do. If we don't like what the pastor says or the message that is being preached or proclaimed, what do? We go elsewhere. Or we just get grumpy with God and walk away from Him. We may even try. This did not happen to me in any previous situation, but unfortunately it has happened to other pastors. We may even try to get rid of the pastor. We've typically, in the midst of our challenge to authority, would withhold our time, our treasures, and our talents from God because we hesitate with His authority because we don't like what the message says. We, like the religious leaders during the time of Christ, want to try to entrap God. If you can convince the Christ to put down taxes, we're doing well. Kick out the Romans. They thought that was the answer. But Christ refocuses the religious leader and refocuses us to basically show us, wait a minute, you are part of the orb. You are part of God's creation. You are dearly loved by Him. Respect His authority. Give to God the things that belong to God. It's simple enough, is it not? We have to realize that by His authority, we really do belong to Him. Yes, we were initially created by God. Unfortunately, sin separated us from God. But God doesn't leave us separated. He restores us through Christ's own death upon the cross. He puts His name upon us through holy baptism. We now belong to Him. But our sinful nature struggles against this because it is used to that separation. It doesn't want to be under Christ's authority. And so we resist. Christ comes again. Through His Holy Spirit, He softens our hearts so that we can be under His authority. Trust in Him above all things. Yes, our sinful nature is still strong and we still struggle with Christ's authority, but the Holy Spirit will continue to help us. Yes, there is forgiveness from Christ and Christ alone. So as we consider our text for today, give to God those things that belong to God and give to Caesar those things that belong to Caesar, how do Christians deal with that in everyday life? One Lutheran pastor once said, what he tries to do every year, I'm not going to mandate this, but this is an interesting application. He tries to figure out how much money he pays in taxes per year and tries to give God at least that much more, showing that his devotion is truly on the side of Christ and Christ alone, not necessarily to the government. But where are your priorities? Do you not understand that, yes, you've been bought by God, you bear His name, you are in His image, and as a result, we share the fruit that God gives to us, that love, that joy, that peace, that patience, that kindness, that gentleness, that self-control. Yes, that's requiring a little bit of us, but we have to remember it is God who created us. Yes, God asks and says, I want you to share what you have been given. And do our defenses come up with us thinking, it's all mine? No, the love of Christ should prevail as we realize it's all His. So let's give to God what belongs to God, which is basically all of it. In relationship to Caesar, we realize that, yes, God has established the government. And as Christians, we in turn do what the government wants us to do as long as it does not conflict with what God tells us to do. I will admit we live in a world where there's a lot of issues at stake. There's a lot of concern among us. There's a lot of worry. What will the economy bring? What will the next 4 years bring? I really don't know that answer, but I can tell you one thing. Even if the United States of America does fall in an economic collapse, Christ's word will never fall apart. He is the one who created you, redeems you, and keeps you. Even if everything else falls apart, He will be there for you. And if our economy continues to get worse and things get really, really tough, I can assure you of one thing. Not a better economy, that Christ will help you through these difficult times. So this day, we ask the Lord to continue to be with us. Yes, there are a lot of things in our mind and a lot of things trying to distract us away from Christ. But as God continues to call us back to His Word, it should settle our hearts, our minds, in the midst of a great political turmoil, a great economic turmoil, to realize that, yes, we live in a temporal world. So let's be attached to the One who is eternal, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For He is the One that promises and gives life and eternal life. In His name, Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.